Now, if you were listening to the programme a couple of weeks ago, you might remember me chatting briefly with Bridget Carter, who, along with her husband Peter, runs a local support group for people with the tic disorder Tourette's syndrome. Bridget and Peter join me now to talk more about Tourette's, along with their daughter Emily, who has the condition, and Kathy Rout, who had her head shaved to raise money for the group. Also, Kathy's son Cameron, who also has Tourette's. Now, if you're hoping to hear a stream of swearing on the radio, that's not going to happen. But on the other hand, Tourette's is an involuntary thing. So I do just want to make you aware that we are broadcasting live. Guys, good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, good morning. We'll talk in just a moment about the Essex Tourette's Action Group, which you're all involved with. But before we do that, whenever you mention Tourette's, as I just suggested, people normally think of someone shouting out rude words. But, Kathy, what actually is Tourette's?
It's built up with both motor tics and vocal tics. So it could be anything from a sniff, a cough, or a whoop sound. My son at the moment has quite a large motor tic, which is nodding his head. So he constantly nods his head and pushes his arms down.
And that's Cameron we can hear in the background there.
He's had it since about the age of six, so I mean it's quite a lot to cope with. He actually does have a couple of swear words, so it does happen, but it's only really 10% of sufferers that actually get the coprolalia, which is the swearing side.
Because that's what people think of, isn't it?
It is, yes, but it's very, very, very small part of it.
Right. How many people are thought to have Tourette's in one form or another?
I think
it's nationally, they think it's about 300,000 people, mostly sort of children, and then they sort of tend to grow out of it as they reach adolescence or go through puberty. But then there are a number of older people that have Tourette's, and even people that develop Tourette's late in life. We know some people are sort of in their 40s before they actually before it comes out.
Really? So is it something that normally affects children and young people, and that people grow out of?
Yes, it's an hereditary condition. And it manifests itself in different ways in different people. So some people are very badly affected by it and can't work, for example. Other people manage to live sort of very normal lives with it, but they have to suppress their tics to do so.
Is it something that is inherited?
Yeah, fairly recently sort of come up with a link that it is a hereditary condition, but we believe that Bridget probably had Tourette's when she was younger, but it never really came out as Tourette's or was diagnosed.
Bridget's your wife. Bridget, let's bring you in there, because it's also linked with OCD, is that right?
Yes, it is.
Right. And is it something that can be cured, or is it something that's just brought under control?
OCD?
Well, Tourette's generally.
There is no cure for Tourette's, but they do have workshops where you can go for CBT, cognitive behavioural therapy,
right?
Which can help. Emily had that for her OCD, which 99.9% cured her OCD, which was a major problem. But there are lots of different trials out there to try and help sufferers of Tourette's, because there is no cure. There's deep brain stimulation. There's also one, I think it's just CBT. There's lots of talk therapy.
Right.
But not everything works for everybody.
No, of course not.
There are a number of different drugs that are used as well to help to control the tics. So if people have extreme tics, then they have, I can't actually think of the name of the drugs at the moment.
Sulpiride, clonidine, haloperidol, risperidone.
So
I said that wrong.
A number of people have different combinations of those drugs, and it really is trial and error because, as I said before, Tourette's affects different people in different ways.
It's quite a broad spectrum of effects.
Absolutely, it's a very broad spectrum.
Right.
And it waxes and wanes, so people will have different tics at different times. Sometimes they'll be very ticky, sometimes they'll be almost tic-free. And then it comes and goes. So to treat it with drugs is very, very difficult because you're always trying to treat something that's constantly changing. They very much have, a lot of people have different cocktails of drugs. Emily doesn't have anything currently, but she has had sulpiride and others in the past. But they have side effects, so they tend to, because they're... they're there to help treat a neurological condition.
Let's bring Emily in there now. You're keeping very quiet in the background there, Emily. Emily's your daughter. How are you affected specifically by Tourette's, Emily?
Most of my tics are motor. So I roll my shoulders a lot, shake my head quite a bit. I also have this current tic, which is really annoying, where I constantly sniff out, so it makes it quite hard to speak sometimes.
Right.
But yeah.
And Bridget, I think I said earlier that Emily's Tourette's was diagnosed when she was very young indeed. What were the first signs? How was that spotted?
The first signs were lots of sniffing, throat clearing and blinking. Also touching things and then sniffing her fingers.
Right. That was OCD more than
Yeah, that
tics.
Was more OCD than tics.
Right.
But she was approximately 4 when she got her diagnosis.
Right.
But the paediatrician felt, due to her history, that she probably had it from about 8 weeks old.
Mm. And you were saying, Emily, that you find some of it quite irritating, but do you basically just get on with life?
Yeah. I get on with everything. I do suppress quite a bit, though, at the moment in college. I find it quite hard to deal with change and going from... my senior school, then choosing to go to college, completely different environment, different people. I found it quite hard.
Right.
So it, stress tends to bring on my tics more, but then I've been suppressing them as well, so it's not a good combination.
Right. Let's bring Cameron in now. Cameron, how old are you?
8.
You're 8. And Kathy, you're Cameron's mum.
Yep.
Now, Cameron is affected in a different way or different ways from Emily, is that right?
Yeah, Cameron's actually been diagnosed with Tourette's and ADHD. So he's hasn't had the OCD side, but his ADHD causes behavioural problems. He can... Well, most of his are probably vocal tics rather than motor tics.
Right.
So he has quite a lot of humming and whooping and the odd expletive that we get occasionally. He gets... mainly the motor tics he has is like the head nodding and arm thrusting. But he has had occasionally where he's ended up on the floor where his legs have just completely stopped and, he trips over himself and ends up on the floor.
And Cameron, ever since you walked in the studio, you've had an enormous smile on your face, so I guess it probably doesn't really bother you too much, does it?
Nervous.
You're nervous?
Yeah.
What's that about, being on the radio?
Yeah. I want to be famous.
Well, you are famous. You're on Phoenix FM.
So yay!
You're already famous, so we've achieved that. Well, I think that probably answers my question, actually, which is great.
Lol.
Emily, you mentioned that you're at college now, and that was quite a change from going to school.
Yeah.
What was school like?
Junior school was all right, I think, really. Like, the younger children didn't really seem to really ever say anything. They didn't really seem to care, but... I did used to get picked on by quite a few teachers, so I've had quite a few school moves. I changed junior school, and it got a lot better. But then moving into senior school, stress of that, just the stress of being a young adult and stuff, it got quite bad. But the last few years of school were absolutely fantastic. Like,
good.
Teachers, people, they were great.
Did the teachers tend to understand?
In my last school, yes, 100%. They were absolutely fantastic. And so were all the, my friends and just everyone in the year and the school. It was a really nice experience, actually.
Excellent. And things are okay now? You've settled in at college, are they?
Yeah, a lot better than they were.
Good, good. Peter, is Tourette something that affects a lot of young people?
Yes, there's something like between 0.5% and 1.5% of young people have Tourette's. And mentioned before, there's over 300,000 in the UK have Tourette's. So in Essex, on that basis, there should be about 8,500 people have it. And we have, I guess there's probably about 20 come along to the support group. So there's another 8,000 odd people out there that, you know, maybe don't know about the group.
Yeah.
There are some people, obviously, that just get on with it and it's just a part of their lives and they function perfectly well. But the support group that we have is there for those people that need help. And we're a bit like undertakers in a way, in that we're always getting new customers because, you know, new as people develop Tourette's, you know, children get diagnosed, then their parents generally don't know anything about it and want to find out.
And I imagine it's one of those things, because there is not a lot of understanding generally that a lot of people have some form of Tourette's, perhaps, without realising it.
I think probably everybody must know somebody that has Tourette's, even if it hasn't been diagnosed, or they think it's just you know, an odd twitch that they have or something. But of course, as Emily said, you know, a lot of time people with Tourette's will suppress it because they don't want to stand out or be picked on or to have people comment on it or notice that they are maybe different. So, you know, if there are people out there that, you know, that probably have Tourette's that you don't never see them tick,
haven't, yes, and haven't been given the label. Look, we need to take a break now, but I'm keen to learn more, including about your support group, which is based in Shenfield, which you're all involved with, and also why Kathy, you had your head shaved for the group. So do stick around. We're talking about Tourette's, which is thought to affect about 300,000 people across the UK, many of them in Essex. And with me are Emily and 9-year-old Cameron, who both have forms of Tourette's. Sorry, he's 8. I'm aging him. You are listening, Cameron. I'm very well spotted. 8-year-old Cameron. And also Cameron's mum, Kathy, and Emily's parents, Bridget and Peter. We don't give away a lady's age. That's terrible. What did you say there?
She's 40.
Oh, talking about your mum. That's absolutely terrible, Cameron. I think you should apologise to your mum for that. Well, she doesn't look it. Now, Bridget, Peter mentioned briefly your group, the Essex Tourette's Action Group. Want to hear a little bit more about that. You're affiliated with the national organisation, is that right?
I'm hungry.
Yes, Tourette's Action is our parent, as it were. And we are a branch of them, offering support in Essex.
Right.
But obviously anybody can come. You don't have to live in Essex, but we are the only one in Essex at the
moment. You're very welcoming.
Yeah.
Excellent. And a couple of weeks ago, the group moved into a new home. And Kathy, you did something quite brave, I think a lot of us would say, to mark the occasion.
Very brave.
Yeah, a bit crazy, I think, probably some
that
people
as well.
Would
I didn't like to say that.
Yeah, I shaved my head off, my hair off.
Right. And that was to raise money, presumably, was it?
To raise funds for our Essex Tourette's group, yes.
Mm-hmm. And how much have you raised so far?
Over £570 so far.
That's
plus
pretty good
still
going.
More coming in.
And people can still support,
yes,
can they?
Yeah, I think that people can still donate money on my Just Giving page.
Right. How do they do that? They go to justgiving.com.
Go to JustGiving, and I think it's Kathleen-Route1.
Kathleen, and Kathleen is K-A-T-H-L-E-E-N.
Yes.
Don't need to know your age there and put that in either. Emily, how often do you as a local group meet?
Is it once a month?
I don't know.
It's currently, it used to vary where we were before, but where we are now, it's going to be the third Saturday of every month. So our next meeting will be the 15th of February.
Right.
It's always 2 p.m. till 4 p.m. Mm. And it's just a informal, friendly group, tea, coffee, biscuits and a chat.
And this is on a Saturday?
It's so, always on a Saturday,
so
yes.
Pretty much anybody, well, unless I know people do work on a Saturday, of course they do, but hopefully a lot of people can come along if they're working during the
Willowbrook
week.
Willowbrook Hall.
Where is Willowbrook Hall? I've been saying it's in Shenfield, but it's not actually, is it, Peter?
Yeah, we were at the Quaker House in Shenfield before, but now Willowbrook Hall is the old Brookfield School, which is just round the back of where the Woodpecker Pub used to be. I think it's a Tesco's now.
Just
off of Hanging Hill Lane near the railway road.
Right. That's very easy to find, and you've got plenty of room there to welcome lots of new people, have you?
Absolutely, yeah. It's a nice big bright, airy hall, and there's even an enclosed play area as well for the kids to
run. And lots of parking.
Which is always very important. Cameron, you enjoy going along to those meetings, the group, do you?
Yeah.
Good.
I love it.
I think the fame's gone to his head a little bit.
Lol.
How old are you again?
Eight.
You're still eight. You haven't turned nine while I've been talking.
No.
My
birthday is April the 14th.
You're 2 days before me. Wow. I'm a little bit older than you, but anyway, so I'll remember your birthday. Who wants to tell me about the summer picnic?
Me.
Go on then.
I can't remember.
It's Hyde Park in London.
Right.
So that was actually the first event that we'd organised before we even had the support group, which only started last January. So back in 2012, we did our first one. I guess there were about 30 or 40 people came along to Hyde Park from various parts of the country. Last year, we had over 90 people. We had people coming down from Scotland, Devon, a couple even came over from Holland.
Great.
Which was good. And they don't actually have much of a support network in Holland, so they've not met other people with Tourette's before. And it's amazing how many people do say, you know, come along to a group or you meet them and say they've never met people with Tourette's, even though, you know, they themselves may have it and, you know, have lived with it for many years.
So that's going to become an annual thing and hopefully something that will grow.
Yeah, hopefully.
This one is the 12th of July this year.
12th of July, so yes. The sun will be beating down and it's going to be...
Fingers crossed.
We've been very lucky the last two. And, yeah, hopefully it will continue.
We can only dream, can't we? Bridget, are you, as a group, as well as encouraging and supporting each other, do you also want to change public perceptions about Tourette's and what it is? I mean, you've come on the radio today, presumably, as part of the reason is to do that. I mean, I knew very little about Tourette's and was keen to find out more and have learnt an awful lot chatting with you. Is that part of what you want to do as a group?
Yes, definitely. It's not just about catching those people out there that may need support or may just want to come along for one meeting. It's also raising awareness that Tourette's is not just about involuntary noises and movements. It also encompasses ADHD, OCD, ODD, which is oppositional defiant disorder, lots of intrusive thoughts for various people. I mean, it's a huge umbrella, Tourette's. There's a lot to learn about this neurological condition. And it just, it's, I think members find, or the feedback from members has been, they love just to be in a room with people that understand them, that get them. They don't have to explain themselves. They don't have to apologise for themselves. Thank you, Emily. they can just, for 2 hours, be themselves with others that are like-minded.
Great. Because there are so many misconceptions and preconceptions about Tourette's, aren't there?
Yes.
And Emily, you took part in a TV documentary, I understand.
I did, yes. Tourette's Let Me Entertain You.
It was years ago.
It was years ago now.
Was it? Can't remember that long ago.
18
you're not.
Months ago.
It was broadcast in September 2012.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so quite a while ago now. But yeah.
Is that still on YouTube?
The first and second episode is on YouTube. The third one's a bit harder to find, but it is on there.
Kathy, what about the medical profession? Do you think there's enough understanding amongst GPs generally, for example?
No, it's a majority of GPs have probably never actually seen somebody with Tourette's.
Right.
Strange. I've been very lucky. My GPs have been fantastic. And we've got referred up to Great Ormond Street, so we're now getting the best help we can for Cameron. But medical profession out there just don't seem to understand it.
Right. So what would you say if somebody listening maybe recognises something in themselves, or maybe in a child or a member of their family, what advice would you give to them, Bridget?
I would say, first and foremost, go onto the web if you can and look up Tourette's Action. It's absolutely jam-packed with information. The helpline is fantastic. Anything you need to know, they will help you. And they also have a list of consultants, etc., on their web. Their page is full of information. They've got consultants, etc., that they can refer you to. But going back to GPs, our GP had never seen or heard of it before, and was actually quite grateful and has read up on it, and is actually teaching his colleagues about it all as well, so trying to spread awareness through the NHS that way.
But it did take us forever to get to Great Ormond Street compared to Kathy's experience.
It did take us 2 years, but we got there eventually.
I guess it's like a lot of things in life, that understanding and medical sort of advance is so slow, but actually sort of educating people and bringing people up to speed generally as a society, it just takes a long time, doesn't it?
Well, as well, you do have to have at least five...
Yeah, to be diagnosed with Tourette's itself, you have to have had the tics for at least a year.
Yeah.
Have five different tics, one of which must be motor or vocal. So if it's just physical, then it wouldn't be diagnosed as Tourette's. It's
right.
a tic disorder. If it's just vocal, it wouldn't be diagnosed as Tourette's. But as we said before, it's such a broad spectrum of things, and it links in with ADHD, etc. So I guess it can be hard to diagnose and can be hidden behind other things.
I'm a narwhal.
Emily, for example, had very bad OCD, and it's impossible as an outsider, unless you're her, to know what's a compulsion from OCD and what's something that's involuntary from Tourette's.
Yeah.
And where the two sort of merge together, things can be very, very difficult.
Yeah, and sometimes putting a label on anything is a little bit too simplistic, isn't it? And it can sometimes cloud the issue.
Yeah, I think there is the whole label thing, but I think most people, once they get that diagnosis, know that once they know that it is a recognised thing, that their child isn't mad or different or whatever. I think it's a big help, and most people are happy to actually have a diagnosis to know that it's not them imagining it or anything else. So it's a label, but it's not something.
It's a move forward.
Yeah, and from a
narwhal's point of view,
from an understanding perspective as well, the fact that so many people are doing things like this, there's lots more people on the radio. Well, Channel 4 recently did a thing where they had people with disabilities introducing programs, and there were two of the people we know with Tourette's were involved in that, and they actually sort of presented programs. So just getting the more and more awareness and understanding out there is what we're trying to do, really.
Well, we're very pleased to play our part in that today. I must admit, I could carry on chatting with you guys all day, but time has got the better of us. We do need to leave it there. Before we go, though, Bridget, do just let us know how people can get in touch with you if maybe they would like to come along to one of your meetings.
We have an email, which is ta.groupessex@gmail.com, and I've also set up a Facebook page purely for Tourette's. It's Essex Tourette's Carter. You can join just for information on what we're doing, the TICNIC. There's going to be a European Tourette's Awareness Day, our support groups, but as well you can find friends on there and chat with people. But it's basically an information page where you can come, and if you don't want to come along to a support group, you can get your support from there.
And there's also the Tourette's Action website as well, which has a lot of information and has details of our contacts.
It has links to our contacts, yeah.
And that's Tourette's-Action. I've lost my place here. We did have that somewhere. Tourette's-Action.org.uk. Brilliant stuff. Cameron, have you enjoyed being on the radio?
Awesome!
Would you like to do it again?
Yeah.
Great. Well, maybe when you're 9, you can come back into Phoenix FM.
I'm 8, not 9.
When you're 9, you can come back again. You'll be 9 after being 8. Emily, Kathy, Bridget, Peter, and of course Cameron, thank you so much for taking the time to visit Phoenix.
I'm hungry.
And the very best of luck with the group.
Thank you for having me.
And I'll put a link to Tourette's Action on my show page a little bit later on today, along with Bridget's contact details, which she did give us there. So if you didn't have a chance to get all of those details down, don't worry, it will be up there on phoenixfm.com. Under programmes, Feel Good Saturday, I'll also put up our chat again so that you can listen once more.